Greetings and welcome to Psalms podcast series. Hello again. The other section that we're going to go over is 404.0, Waste Fittings and Overflows. This is very interesting. Number one is that there are people who assume overflows are actually a code issue. And as we will be discussing shortly, there are products that overflow is not required. However, if the overflow is required, there is a section within the code. The other item is the fittings that applies, works with this. They have added components and elements with regard to the standards that applies for the piping and the fittings of the waste fittings. I'm going to read this section of the code. 404.0, Waste Fittings and Overflows. 404.1, Waste Fittings. Waste fittings shall comply with ASME A112.18.2/Canadian Standards Association B125.2B, ASTM F409 or Table 701.2 for above ground drainage piping and fittings. 404.2 overflows, where a overflow is provided with an overflow. I'm so sorry, one more time. Where a fixture is provided with an overflow, the waste shall be so arranged that the standing water in the fixture shall not rise in the overflow where the stopper is closed or remains in the overflow where the fixture is empty. The overflow pipe from a fixture shall be connected to the house or the inlet site of the fixture trap, except that overflow on flush tanks shall be permitted to discharge into the water closet or urinals served by them. But this shall be unlawful to connect such overflows with any other parts of the drainage system. So really, really this section is doing some cleanups for the standards and trying to give some credence for the standards that has to be used for this project. I'm going to come back to one part. Not all plumbing fixtures are required to have overflow. There are examples, applicable standards for plastic, enameled cast iron, enameled steel or ceramic plumbing fixtures that do not require overflow for lavatory sinks or bidets. And if you go to stores, you can find very, very, very fancy bowls and can be used in a house, and you do not see no overflows. The other item, however, the four standards referenced in section 409.1 for bathtubs, whirlpools constructed of ceramic, cast iron, enamel, steel, stainless steel, must meet the minimum dimension illustrated in the standards, which includes an opening for an overflow. And I've worked on overflows before. There was a guy who was trying to make sure that the overflow works, regardless of what the flow input flow for the water is. Therefore, the water will not spill outside of the tank or the bidet or the shower tubs, etc., etc. I believe I said, let's move on. The only thing that this particular book addressed, it showed where the overflow positions are and the fittings, the waste fittings of the overflow are part of the section. So if a manufacturer is going to be building it, it has to meet ABCs of the standards as noted in the, as mentioned earlier, a few minutes ago. The next section is actually 407.0 and 409.0. There again, they are addressing the overflows, and the overflow section moved from 404.1 to 404.2. I'm just going to read this thing off. There's not much more explanation for this. 407.0 lavatories, 409.0 bathtubs and whirlpool bathtubs. The code 407.0 lavatories has a subsection 407.6 overflows. And this section, the line that got deleted and was modified, it says that overflow shall be installed in accordance to section 404.1, where the new code says where overflows are provided, because they assume they are telling to the inspector and the engineers or whoever that overflows only when they are provided, when they are mandated, or they are given to you voluntarily through these sinks, they shall comply with section 404.2. Bathtubs, whirlpools, bathtubs. Again, in this particular case, the overflow, they say overflow shall be where provided, they shall comply with 404.2. So, they are asking the engineers and designers to verify when the lavatories, bathtubs, whirlpools, when they are specified to include these overflows, and if they are they have designed them, they must be installed per section 404.2. So that is the primary section, just to make sure that they are addressing it at the right location. And now the overflows have gotten a little bit of an importance with this code change. 410.3 brings up a good point. It's called limitations of water temperature in bidets. What is happening, and we will see that again shortly in the eyewash section as well. In this particular case, they have actually simply taken the Canadian standards, modified it, and they have added the ASME A112.1070 added to this section of the code. It simply says, this is how it goes, 410.3, limitation of water temperature in bidets. By the way, I can tell you that bidets are getting very famous, primarily because of the COVID-19. Everybody's brother has purchased every one of the toilet papers west of Mississippi. And if you go there, there is a armed guard literally in a Walmart next to a toilet paper as if it's a jewelry. And they are guarding it so you don't take two of them. You got to take only one of them. I was in such line just recently. So I'm going to read it again. 410.3, limitations of water temperature in bidets, period. The maximum hot water temperature discharging from a bidet shall be limited to 110 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 40 degrees Celsius, by a device that complies with ASSE 1070, ASME A112.1070, and the Canadian Standard Association's B112.25.70, the water heater thermostat shall not be considered a control for meeting this provision. Number one, a thermostat and water heater is not accurate. It only gives you a range, and that tank within a water heater is actually an element so large, and the position of that thermostat cannot give you something for the discharging water out of the water heater to be an accurate temperature. Once it comes through the pipes and it hits the individual's body, depending on the temperature, how high you go beyond 120, it can produce a scalding. And if the person's body is a youngster, that injury will be far more severe, depending on the degree of the injury. So therefore, number one, please, please do not use the water heater thermostat as a gauge for 110 degrees, because the plus or minus of that is very, very high. But it has given bidets a maximum 110 degrees Fahrenheit maximum, and they have to meet the ASSE, ASME, and the Canadian standards guidelines. So it's primarily, as they say, it's primarily to ensure that the water temperature limiting devices, they are all in the same line, and primarily just to harmonize and ensure that the risk of a scalding goes down. And as you know, in lavatories, etc., hot water temperature is 120. I highly suggest be less than 115 and 110 for bidets. The next section is 416.2, water supply. Again, in this particular case, a certain line has been deleted, and I will address that, and a very good size, two additional lines were added. This is on emergency eyewash. 416.2, water supply. Emergency eyewash and shower equipment shall not be limited in the water supply flow rates. The line that was deleted, it says, flow rate, discharge pattern, and temperature of flushing fluid shall be provided in accordance to ISEA Z358.1 based on the hazardous material. That line was deleted. The line that was added says, where hot and cold water is supplied into an emergency shower or eyewash station, the temperature of the water supply shall be controlled by temperature-actuated mixing valve complying with the ASSE 1071, the flow rate discharge pattern, and the temperature of the flushing fluids shall be provided based on in accordance with ISEA Z358.1. The most critical part for this is a clarification of the language that, number one, this is an emergency fixture. Number two, that it is not just the flow rate and the discharge pattern that is controlling, it is more. And it simply says where hot and cold water is supplied to an equipment, the temperature actuating mixing valve shall meet the ASSE 1071, like the bidet that we discussed. The other issues is that, what is the temperature? And we call this a tepid water. And then they used it as a tepid water, and somebody says, hello, what is a tepid water? Well, tepid water is a specific temperature guidelines that is not standard, but a temperature range of not less than 60, that is very cold, and not more than 100 degrees that will damage the eye. So really, where does the 60 degrees come from? If you do any medical hospital work, you realize that your secondary heating that you have to have as emergency for a hospital bed is 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Where does that come from? That is the temperature, that minimum temperature, maximum, or let me put it, the minimum temperature that you can be for your blood circulation within the body. And at the same time, depending on the different parts of the body, can you have a high 110 degree water hitting your eye? As I described, 110 degrees, 115 degrees, 120, depending on the different parts of the skin, they will have a different impact. A palm of your hand can take much higher temperature because of its thickness, as opposed to side of your arm. So you got to have that under a control. I'm going to stop at this section. I'm going to do the appliance venting, which to me is one of the other most important part at my next podcast. Thank you.